occasionally, or at least to a young person, Michael, that was the way I perceived it. And so a lot of times I can remember he'd be up there teaching away on something. I'm sure it was good stuff. I'm sure it was. But I just opened up my Bible, and because I knew I wouldn't get in trouble for reading my Bible. And there's a lot of things you can get in trouble for in church, Drayton, but reading your Bible is probably not one of them. You can get away with that. And so I'd read my Bible. I'd go back to the stories of David and you know, read the Old Testament stories. And, man, this is one of my favorites. And we've been working through. So I guess why I say that is if I'm boring you to tears tonight, just open your Bible somewhere and start finding something to, you know, kind of encourage you, because I want you to get something out of this. So we've been working through, and here's the story. The Philistines have come up against the Israelites, and they have come up and arrayed themselves in a battle formation. The Philistines on one hillside and the Israelites on another, and between them there's a valley, there's kind of a ravine, and the Philistines can't use the chariots here because it's hilly and rocky, and so they have no tactical advantage over the Israelites in this case. And so it's kind of a standoff. It's kind of a stalemate. But what happened here is that the Philistines began to send out Goliath, that big old giant of a man. He was around 10 feet tall. Some have estimated even as much as 11 feet tall. And weighed probably 600 to 700 pounds. This guy was enormous. His armor weighed 125 pounds. His spear, the spear that he carried, the head of the spear weighed 15 pounds. And so he was just this enormous guy, had a huge sword, had all this armor. He was coming out every single day, and he would come out and challenge the Israelites, and he would basically insult them, and he would insult their God. And every time he come out, you know, the armies were all, you know, there like they were going to fight, and they were, you know how people are sometimes. Yeah, just bring that over here. Just, you know, they're talking big, and then Goliath would come out, and the Israelites would start backing away and start, you know, and nobody would face him. Nobody would face him until David came, and David had been tending sheep there for his father in Bethlehem, and David came began to talk to everybody. He was bringing up supplies for his brothers who were in the army, and about that time, here come Goliath. He'd been doing this for 40 days. 40 days diet of Goliath. And all the Israelites, they were backing up. Nobody was willing to stand up. And David said, "What's the deal here, guys?" He says, "Is there not a cause? Is there not a reason? Is there not, you know?" And his oldest brother jumped on him and kind of kicked him a little bit because he said, "Oh, you just want to come out here and see this battle. And you know, you need to go back and tend those few little sheep you watch over and leave the fighting to us men." And, that's not exactly what he said, but that's kind of what he meant. Well, David said, "Look, I'll fight this guy." Now, David was a young man. He might have been 20 years old. We don't know. You know, he might have been a teenager. We don't know. But he was a shepherd, and he wasn't trained as a warrior. He wasn't trained as a soldier. He didn't have any weapons. And so when word came back to King Saul, King Saul immediately said, "Oh, well, bring him up. Bring him here. Let's explore this. We haven't had any takers on this little challenge to a duel." And so, David came and talked to Saul. And Saul ended up said, "Well, sounds like to me you're the man for the job. God bless you. Hope you do good. We got a lot riding on you. And here's my armor. You can take that to help you out." And David put the armor of Saul on. But then when it says right here in verse 39, after David had put all this stuff on, we're in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 39. And I'm not going to ask you to stand tonight, in part because I'm going to read some different sections here and some different parts. Unless you want to, I'll be standing for the whole thing. So for any of you legalists out there, you're welcome to stand. But I'm going to encourage you just to read along and sit as you read. But verse 39, David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. And so David armors up. He's got all this stuff he's wearing. And, you know, it's beginning to look like, okay, well, maybe this guy, you know, maybe this might really work. He's got some armor. He's got a sword. He's got the weaponry now. And David says, no, I can't do this. This is not who I am. This is not what I have learned and known, and I'm not comfortable in it. And so one of the things that we've kind of focused on in this study is you need to be who you are. You can't be who somebody else is. You can't do what somebody else might do. You need to be who you are. And the neat thing about that is that God created you uniquely. I mean, you are absolutely, every single one of you, and I know most of you fairly well, some of you really well. And it's interesting to me, and it's great to see how God puts us together and He builds such unique things into us. But then He puts all that into a church body, a church family, and it becomes something where unique abilities and gifts and personalities that otherwise we would look at and say, oh, well, I can't get along with him or I can't work with her. But suddenly if the Lord is in that, we discover those things begin to mesh. They begin to come together. Well, so David put away the armor of Saul. That was a temptation to him, really. But, if he'd worn that out there on the battlefield, he'd have been trusting in the armor. He wouldn't have been trusting in the Lord like he should have been. And so that's a concern for us. We need to be trusting in the Lord, not in any of our abilities or things that we could do. Well, verse 40, notice this. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him five smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. Well, so instead of the armor, David now has a bag with some rocks in it. And he's got a sling, and he's got a staff. A stick. The staff he would use in shepherding his flock of sheep, and so that's a normal thing for him. But as you think about this picture, it's not a particularly inspiring one when you think about who's waiting on the other side over here. You've got Goliath waiting, and he's just this enormous man who was trained for war from the time he was young. And then here comes David with his staff in his hand, a sling, and some rocks in his pocket. Well, it's not designed to inspire any great feeling. All right, David, here we go. Well, this is going to be good. He's going to take him down. No, I don't think anybody, I think everybody was watching and thinking, oh. Now, there was probably a few thinking, oh, he shouldn't be going out there. But none of them were willing to go out there. None of them were willing to step up. And at some point, at some point, somebody has to step up. Somebody just has to step out and say, it doesn't matter if I win or lose. It doesn't matter if I die or I live. Nothing really matters here except that I'm going to step out on faith and I'm going to trust God for something. And there's sometimes we're looking at something and we're pondering and we're looking and we're looking and looking, and we just need somebody to step out and say, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to believe God. And when people do step out, don't throw stones at them. Don't knock them down. encourage him. He's got five smooth stones. We've talked about that, you know. It's quite possible that Goliath had four brothers. You say, is that why he had five? I don't know, but that could be. One of these days, when we all get to heaven, let's just ask. I mean, you know, what can it hurt? We'll just ask David. David, could we have a time with you? Just, you know, we just get together. And maybe they'll do that. Maybe that'll be a feature of heaven. They'll just have, you know, well, on Tuesday, Solomon's going to be sharing. On Thursday, King David. And, I mean, I don't know, but that'd be fun. If we could just sit down and we could talk and ask questions and say, well, what happened here? Why did you do this? Or what, you know? And so David's got his stones in his bag and he's got his sling and he's ready. Now, a sling, that sounds like it's not much of a weapon, but actually it is a pretty fierce weapon in a way. In Judges 20, in verse 16, there is a reference there. Judges 20 and verse 16. And it's talking about the children of Benjamin, the tribe of Benjamin. But in verse 16 it says, among all this people there were 700 chosen men left-handed. Lefties, Brother Garland. I know that'll minister to you. And the Green family as well. At least the boys back there. Well, I don't know. Is Nate a lefty? No. Oh, my goodness. We've broken the pattern here. Okay. Well, anyway, there were 700 of these guys. And it says they could sling stones at a hair breadth and not miss. So it was a weapon that they had used. They were comfortable with. David had certainly used it as a shepherd and had gotten very good at it. And he's walking out, and here we go. Verse 41. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. So Goliath's coming. He's got his shield bearer in front of him there, ready. And it says here that, verse 42, when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him. He sneered at him. He laughed at him. He mocked him. He made fun of David. For he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. He was a good-looking young man, but he was young. He was not particularly fearsome-looking. And Goliath looked at him and said, is this the best you got? Is this the best you can do? This little guy? Notice verse 43. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that you come to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. I mean, David comes walking out there with his staff, with his sling. And Goliath says, you're coming at me with sticks? You're going to hurt. I mean, you know, and it is a ridiculous looking thing. I mean, we know, you know, Goliath and David, that story is the classic underdog story. And yet it's even a bigger underdog story than most anything that we, you know, talk about nowadays as being a David and Goliath kind of story, you know, because it's just so much of a mismatch. You know, there's no possible way, watching this unfold, there's no possible way that you can see David winning this victory. Just can't even happen. Well, the Philistine begins to curse David by his gods. And so part of what we see here in this story is a battle between the gods of the Philistines and the God of Israel. And it's good for us to realize that some of the battles that we still see today are between the gods of this world, of this country, and the God of the Bible. And we need to know that our God is not like any other God. We need to know that our God is able to defeat any of the gods of this land or any other. And He's shown that. Remember when Moses went into Pharaoh in Egypt and did those miracles and brought 10 plagues upon Egypt? Well, it was a plague upon the gods of Egypt. It wasn't just bad stuff that happened to the country. It was specific plagues upon the gods of Egypt. And now the gods of the Philistines are in play. And so you say, well, what does that mean, gods? Are there really other gods? No, there's no other God. There is none like our God. I mean, but there are pretenders and there are those who would try to, you know, pass themselves as God. And the only power in those is a demonic power. Okay? So sometimes there is power in other gods, but it's a demonic source. And God, our God is greater than anything that the devil can bring out. Well, the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine, verse 44, said to David, "Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field." Basically says, David, I'm gonna rip you apart and tear you out. I'm just going to throw you out here in the field to the birds and the animals are going to come and eat your flesh. And so it's pretty clear, you know, Goliath's intention and his plan is pretty clear. But then notice David's response, verse 45. "Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied." And so the confrontation is set. It's not just between two men. It's between the God of Israel and the gods of the Philistines. And, we've seen elsewhere, we saw in earlier on, remember when the Philistines captured the Ark of the Covenant in the first part of 1 Samuel? Well, anyway, the Philistines captured the Ark of the Covenant. But thanks for the encouragement there. And they took it in. You remember they took it and they put it in their temple next to their god Dagon. And in the morning they came back and they found their God laying on its face before the Ark of the Covenant. And so they picked their God up and they put Him back on the shelf. And they came back the next day and not only was He fallen over again in front of the Ark of the Covenant, but His hands and His head were cut off and they knew, man, this is bad. This is something's going on here. Well, so here again is the gods of the Philistines being invoked and being brought into the battlefield. And Goliath is coming in the power of his gods, but David is coming in the power of his God. And so, you know, we see that from place to place in the Old Testament. We see it with Elijah and the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. And so David says, "You're coming to me with all this weaponry. You've got all this stuff." But he said, "I'm coming in a different way." You see, the battle is not about flesh and blood. The battle is not about what I can do, how much I can lift, or how hard I can throw, or you know, any of these things. You're coming to me with all this stuff, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. And the Lord of hosts, that's the name, and you'll notice in the King James the word Lord there is in all caps, and that's the word or the name for God that's sometimes translated Yahweh or Jehovah, except there are no J sounds in Hebrew, so we know it wasn't Jehovah in the original. But I come to you in the name of Yahweh of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. It wasn't just about the nation of Israel or King Saul or about David. It was about their God. And folks, let me say to you today, because we see a lot of opposition to the things of God and to Christians today, but it's not about us. It's not about our churches. It's not about our traditions. It's not about what we do as Christians. It's about God. And if there's an attack upon us, it's really an attack upon God. And so, you know, we ought to know that by now. We should realize that. But, well, David says, verse 46, notice, he says, "This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." And so Goliath was talking some smack here, but David takes it to a whole nother level. Except David is going to back it up. Goliath thinks he is. He thinks he can do what he said. But David says, "This day will the Lord, will Yahweh deliver thee into mine hand." And so David knew that this battle belonged to the Lord. And folks, I want to encourage you, because every struggle that we go through, every battle that we face, in reality, ultimately, it belongs to the Lord. And we cannot fight in our own strength, and we cannot win in our own way. We need the presence of God and the power of God. But many times I think we feel like it's on us. I've got to deal with, you know, this situation in my family, with this relationship problem. I've got to deal with my finances or my job or my, whatever kinds of my health or whatever issues that we're dealing with. We kind of take things on ourselves, and we need to bring them back and say, "Lord, I am your servant. And Lord, everything I own is yours. Everything I have, you've given to me. And so, Lord, every problem that I face, Lord, I'm just bringing it to you, because it's yours in reality. You're the only one who can adequately address all the struggles or all the needs or all the giants that we face." Because sometimes, honestly, we face giants. You know, and maybe they're not big old smelly, ugly guys who come out roaring and yelling and stomping and spitting and snorting but yet, man, we face some formidable foes at times. Well, David says, "The Lord will deliver thee into mine hand." And so he's very specific. He tells Goliath, "I'm going to kill you. I'm going to cut off your head. And I'm going to feed not just your carcass. I'm going to feed the carcass of your whole army to the birds and the wild animals." So David is, you know, he's. But notice the purpose of all this. Look at the last part of verse 46. He says that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. You know, the Israelite people were not put there just for their own benefit and their own sake. They were not there just so that they could come to know God. They were there so that all the nations could come to know God. And somehow, mostly they missed that. You know, there were times when things like that happened. But you remember Jonah. Did Jonah have a heart for the nations? Was Jonah just a missionary at heart? Absolutely not. God drug him kicking and screaming to Nineveh and put him through the belly of the whale in the process. But that's God's heart. It's always been God's heart. It hadn't changed. God didn't just pick out a people so that they'd be better than everybody else. He picked out a people so that He could reveal Himself through those people to the world. And He's done it through Jesus. Well, so David says here, verse 47, "And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's." He will give it into your hand. You know, very simply said, but this is what we need to know. We need to bring every struggle we have, every problem that we face, every difficulty that comes to the Lord and say, God, this is your battle. Lord, your car is broken down again. Lord, your plumbing is messed up and needs to be fixed. I mean, you put everything in His hands. Well, so verse 48, we come right down to the moment. It came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted. He ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in the bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth. I mean, first of all, just picture this moment. Here is David coming out there. He's got the sling in his hand. He's got a stone in there. And basically their sling in that day, you know, it wasn't like our slingshots when I was a kid. I would make a slingshot out of something, you know, with old rubber from tire tubes or something, you know, and make a slingshot. And it worked pretty good. But, you know, this was a sling that they would sling, and then they would release one of the strings and it would release that rock. And they'd become very skillful at it. And David was. And when he released this rock, the Bible says it hit Goliath right in the forehead and sunk in right in. And Goliath, the mighty Goliath, the mighty and powerful warrior, the champion of all Philistia, fell to the earth, fell to the ground. All 678 pounds or whatever he weighed. I mean, think about that moment when he fell down and picture the armies on both sides watching this play out. And imagine, I was watching a ball game the other day and one of the dads from the other team was watching the game. And I got so tickled just watching him watch the game because everything that was happening, he was playing it. You know, he was out there. And I can just imagine that some of these guys in these both of these armies were like, you know, they were wanting their guy to win. And they were. And then suddenly the stone is loosed and Goliath begins to fall, falls to his knees and into the ground. And the Philistine army is in disbelief, cannot believe what is happening. This cannot be. And the Israelite army, I don't think they were far behind them. I think they were pretty much in disbelief as well. And so, well, we come to the interesting part of this. So David prevailed over the Philistine, verse 50, with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine, and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. David comes and it's a kind of a gross moment. We've seen several of those in Judges and now in 1 Samuel. But David comes and he cuts the head off of this giant. There's no doubt about it. There can be no questioning who won this battle. God won this battle through David. And it's very clear. So, the Philistine army, man, suddenly they are in disarray. Suddenly they are just fleeing, running away from this battleground. Verse 52. And the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until thou come to the valley and to the gates of Ekron. They pursued the Philistines all the way to the city of the Philistines. That was the only place that they found safety. Well, talk about a battle. It says, and the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way to Sharam, even unto Gath and unto Ekron, and the children of Israel returned from chasing after the Philistines. They spoiled their tents, and David, kind of gross, but David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem. But he put his armor in his tent, and when Saul saw David go forth against the Philistine, he said unto Abner, the captain of the host, "Abner, whose son is this youth?" And Abner said, "As thy soul liveth, O king, I cannot tell." And so, well, Saul's inquiring because he's promised that whoever kills the giant, their family will be tax-free in Israel. No longer have to pay taxes. Oh, happy day. I mean, man, there's some benefit for you. Well, verse 57, as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. Now, I don't know about you, but I think I'd get tired lugging that thing around after a while. I mean, it's gross and it'd be heavy. Big old guy and big old head. Well, Saul said unto him, "Whose son art thou, thou young man?" And David answered, "I am the son of thy servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite." Well, this is a great victory. And great lessons for us. You know, all through Samuel, we've seen lessons in leadership. We've seen lessons in how to lead and how not to lead. Saul's given us some good lessons on how not to lead. David gives us here a great lesson on leadership. And it is, number one, to trust in the Lord. And it is to stand in the gap. And it is to be faithful in the smallest things that God's given you to do. And God will use you in greater ways than you can ever imagine. So, you know, it's a powerful story. It's a moving story. But the neat part of it to me is it just reminds us of how great God is. And, you know, after this, people will look at David and they'll be all excited about David. And granted, David did a great thing. But I think David would have been the first to say, "God is the one who did this." So I want to encourage you, when you do see victories in your life, make sure you give God the credit. Make sure you give God the glory. You know, make that a point. And it's not that you, you know, I've seen folks that seem like you couldn't give them a compliment because, it's just the Lord. And I understand that, but man, give God praise. Give Him glory. He is good. All right, well, we're going to close with this and say, well, is that story, is that something that's really important to us today? Yeah, because you know, the Bible says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And so when we read the Word and we hear the stories and we get what God has done in the past, it helps us to understand what God can do today and in the future. Because He's the same God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's unchanging. So you may have an issue in your heart, in your life. You may have a need. You may have a friend you're concerned about or a loved one that you're burdened for who's lost. Or you may have something that's going on in your life that you need God to intervene. And I want to encourage you to understand that the battle is the Lord's. Let's bow our heads. Now, in a moment, we're going to have a time of invitation and just seeking the Lord and prayer. And if God's speaking to your heart about something, this is a good time to answer His call, to respond to Him. It could be that you need to settle some things with the Lord about your salvation or about some part of your walk with God. Something that God's been dealing with you about. Well, it's a good time to take care of it. Now, Father, we pray, Lord, and we thank You for the story of David. And Father, it is an exciting moment. But, Lord, I pray that You'd help us to understand that the difficulties that we face in our lives, Lord, You have every single one of them in Your hand. God, there's nothing that's too hard for You. And, Lord, I pray You'd help us to realize that all things are possible to him that believeth. And so, Father, just call us to Yourself this evening and help us to to humble ourselves and to acknowledge that we don't have the answers and we aren't the answer. Lord, that we don't have wisdom, we don't have power of our own, we don't have strength, Lord, and that we need You. Father, help us in these moments to cry out to You, to lift up the needs of our hearts and our lives, and to trust You, and to trust that the battle, our battle, is Yours, Lord. Let's just remain in an attitude of prayer, and if God's speaking and working in your heart, this is your time. And if I can pray with you about something, I'd be glad to.